Greetings, Magnificent Souls, the Lily Puley podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is your host, Lily Puley, and I'm honored to have conversations here with thought leaders, visionaries, healers, and even solo conversations with myself about things I'm currently reflecting on. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through emotional trauma, allowing ourselves to be healthy, be happy, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us. And because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our jobs, our unhappiness, we have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they tell you that what we're doing is it. It's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and the love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls, and these are our stories of healing. Today in episode 147, I welcome Carla Romo and Sherry Gamba to the show to chat about the love. Before we get into the show, don't forget to let me know your thoughts about this episode or anything you would like me to cover on future podcasts by dropping me a DM on Instagram. Remember, it is a safe place, and I would welcome the discussion. And also, I request if you are enjoying the show, please rate and share and review so we can get the word out to more and more souls who want to heal. And now on to today's episode. Carla Romo and Sherry Gamba, 30 years apart, and have the same birthday. They are both relationship and dating experts and have only met once in real life, even though they've had their podcast, The Love Fix, for 2.5 years. Please enjoy this conversation with Carla and Sherry.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Carla and Sherry, thank you so much for coming on.
Yay, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yes, thank you. No, this is going to be a great conversation, as I was saying before we jumped on today. And all the listeners know, like, I have people that go all the way back to 2018 and start at episode one, which was what is codependency, was when little baby Lily, just in the beginning of her healing journey, was reading definitions of codependency. And that's what you guys specialize in. You work together, you have a podcast together called the Love Fix Podcast. And you focus on codependency, toxic relationships, and love addiction. So I'm super excited for the conversation today.
Right. Yes, we're very excited.
Yay, good. Okay, so we got to start. I start hot always. So let's start with codependency. I would love for you guys, each of you, or however you guys do it, to just kind of define codependency. Like, what does codependency mean to you? Because for me, you know, like, when I go back and I listen to episode one, a lot of those definitions really don't hit with me. And what I realized through my journey was that codependency was really just a disconnection from myself, to make it really, really simple. But how would you guys define codependency?
Go first, well, Carla.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was doing research for my book, Contagious Love, Break Free from Codependency for Damn Good in 2019, I was like, oh, there's no official definition of codependency. So I find that so interesting that you said the first episode, you're just like reading off definitions of codependency, what it means. The way that I would define it is it's rooted in low self-esteem and you lose yourself in a relationship or to another person. Mm-hmm. And I even want to now expand that as well, because when we're looking at that from an interrelational standard, yes, another person, but you can be codependent with work. You could be codependent with, people, person, places, things, like all those different things. So I just very much look at it as like you're losing yourself to someone else, and it's rooted as a result in low self-esteem.
I love that.
So I would probably go in similarly to Carla, but I also think underneath codependency, there's usually some sort of trauma where, you felt invisible and you weren't validated, you weren't known. Then you don't learn how to have a relationship with yourself. So then you end up having a toxic relationship with yourself, which makes you more vulnerable to picking toxic partners because you just have no sense of the core of who you are. So I always say people with codependency, like Carla said, lose themselves, but they lose it because they never had it. You know, if you don't get that caring and nurturing and bonding, there's this inability to know oneself. That's where you learn about who you are when somebody mirrors, you know, oh yeah, I hear you. I see you. I get you. Mm-hmm. So I would say trauma is always at the heart of codependency.
Yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense. So basically, I mean, it sounds like I love this too, because I always take an inside out approach instead of an outside in approach, which, you know, I think like that's the root of, you know, what you guys are talking about. Codependency is a lot of action the outside of us rather than, you know, what's happening on the inside, what our needs and our values are. This is my biggest thing with the codependency space. And I want to just kind of put this out here and see if we can have a good conversation about this. When I first started being a coach, my focus was codependency. And I think I like called myself like freedom from codependency coach. And I don't know if it was like in my, it was like where I was, the stage where I was in my healing, but I kept talking to these people that really was really just attached to that label of being I'm a codependent. And people like joke about it on Instagram. And I don't think it's funny because it's a real thing. And so how do we move from like this codependent narcissist kind of labeling? And I don't really know. I feel like there's just so much weight and power put in this labeling of I'm a codependent or he's a narcissist or whatever. How do y'all move through this? How do you help clients move through this? And what are your thoughts on that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I actually feel like if somebody's so stuck in the label, they're not doing the healing work. Like for me, it was really empowering to find out, you know, way back over a decade ago, oh, I'm codependent, when my therapist said this. And I went home and Googled it. Cause as I say, I was so codependent, I had to be perfect. I couldn't tell the therapist, what are you talking about? I went home and researched it and was like, oh, this is me. And then once I realized that and recognized it, it empowered me to make choices and start the healing process. And it actually gave me a path forward. I no longer was crazy. There was a solution. I could break free from codependency. So for me, it was really empowering because it led me down the path of healing. Sherry and I talk a lot about this on our podcast, The Love Fix. But I will say that I don't think it's anything you graduate from. You definitely can learn tools and things in life get like, you know, the triggers and the characteristics around codependency get a lot smaller, very, very small. They're very, very small in my life today. But, you know, I still have certain tendencies. And so I think when I can name it, claim it, then I can move forward from it. And so that's kind of how I look at the labels of codependency with myself. And then, you know, in regards to my clients as well, it's not so much wrapped on like your codependency, this is why you're this way. No, it's okay, it makes a lot of sense. You got certain characteristics around codependency and being codependent. How do we move forward? Because that's what's going to get you out of the codependent cycle.
And I agree, Lily, what you're saying about all the noise out there, this, you know, idea of, I think it started with Ross Rosenberg. He talks about the self-love deficit, and it just became this movement of narcissist codependent dance. Mm-hmm. And I think Carla's right. If you're just focused on that dance, it's the first step is awareness. So there's this dance going on. Okay, now what are we going to do about it? And I agree, people get stuck in all the books and all the, you know, it's all great. I mean, I wish this stuff was out there when I was, you know, your age. Carla and I have a 30-year age difference. Lily, you're probably close to Carla's age. You know, it would have been really good information. Codependency when I was in my 20s was just about, you know, loving an addict or alcoholic.
Right.
So I appreciate, you know, like the thing that really was the most beneficial thing for me in my journey was what's called, again, and it's an anonymous program, ACOA, it's the laundry list. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, even though my mother's alcoholism didn't, you know, really shoot up until I was way out of the house and she was already in her 70s, there were all the isms in my home. And then I discovered my grandparents were gamblers. So of course my mother had the isms, and then she passed down the isms to me. My dad was very codependent on my mother. My mother was very codependent on my dad. So it gave me an understanding of that transgenerational trauma that's been passed down and why I am the way I am. And I, And I think it helps clients too, to go, oh, it's not that I have this like anxious attachment style and I'm obsessed and I have to fix and I have to control and I'm going to make this person be what I want them to be. That's why I do it. So I always look at the lens from transgenerational trauma and where can we go from here and heal that?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. There's so much power, I think. Like awareness, obviously, because I was the same way, you know, like I found this whole world that I had no idea existed because, you know, we didn't talk about things, you know, in my house, there was, it's like this secrecy and, you know, no emotional maturity or whatever. And so I find this whole other world like, oh yeah, there's codependency and there is great power and awareness. And I feel, and hopefully we're getting out of this. I don't know, but I do feel like that it's good to talk about, because if people are stuck in this, like you're talking about, like, this is my attachment style, you know, I'm codependent, he's narcissist. There is just like, you can just keep spinning your wheels in that without doing the healing work.
We call that a spiritual bypass. And so some people will just buy every course and go on every podcast. Again, it's all great information, but then what are you going to do with that? Are you going to hire a therapist like myself who does trauma therapy? Do you want to start attracting a different type of person? And you're going to hire someone like Carla, who's a dating coach. Mm. And she does other types of coaching, but let's move to the next place. Let's work with that family of origin stuff, that transgenerational trauma. And now what are we going to do with that information instead of just read this book, listen to this? I mean, please listen to the Love Fix, but
and this podcast,
of course, but that's just the first step, everybody. Yeah. You know, even for me, when I've had relationships, I'll stick on an audible, you know, of one of these books about narcissistic abuse. And it's been very healing when I've, you know, been getting out of relationships that were unhealthy. It helps. You know what it does? It validates your experience. Like, oh yeah, I get it. That was me. And we're so alone when we're in these toxic relationships. We feel so like we're like on an island. And so when you can get into a group and you can be with other people that are going through the same thing, that is the most powerful healing.
And here is the question that everyone asks me when I'm on podcasts and I answer, and people don't like the answer to my questions. I know, because it's not like a really quick tip or quick way to get to the healing and the end journey, which is like, you know, creating maybe a beautiful relationship or communicating better or whatever. But how do you heal? What do you do?
It's a journey. It never ends. Right? People want the like, good, I'll never be codependent again, or I'll never be, you know, in a unhealthy relationship, or I'll see all the green flags and never go after the red flags again, right? All of those things. You know, healing is not linear. Time isn't linear. We like to think time is linear. You know, we as humans, we really thrive and start to finish, but that's not the journey or experience of life. Life is not, you know, it is start in the sense you're born and finish that you die, but it's the experience to live isn't a start to finish experience. And so I think if you really look at the healing process and the healing journey that way, that life is always going to happen and life is always going to come to you, and it's going to pull out different parts of you that you didn't even realize were there. So starting the healing journey, I mean, I'm very big on, you know, the most important relationship that you will ever have is the relationship with yourself. And that could be very, you know, cheesy saying or overstated and okay, great, but it's really true. So the healing journey in codependency is starting with yourself. You are so focused on somebody else. You're constantly obsessing or pointing your finger at them or finding ways to help them and fix them so that you can feel okay. So the only way to feel okay as a codependent is to work on yourself, and is to put that finger back on yourself and say, what do I need? How do I love myself? How do I create a life that I want to live? The idea isn't to create a life where nothing bad will ever happen again. The idea is to create a life that if a storm comes, you know, your plants aren't uprooted and tumbling away in the storm. You know, the idea is that you have a sense of self, you have a sense of security, safety, belonging within, and that nobody can get in the way or between that relationship with yourself.
And then a lot of people will say, well, how do I do that? How do I love myself? Like, where does self-love come from? And then Carla and I talk about this a lot. It, like she said, it comes with a connection to oneself. Oh, but I don't even know how I feel. So then it becomes about, well, what do you notice in your body? You know, where do you feel okay in your body? Where do you not feel okay? Where is the discomfort in your body? So you start going deeper with yourself and doing some of the body, psychological body therapies or trauma therapies. I do somatic experiencing. Mm-hmm. There's EMDR. So if you have some of those experiences from childhood, or you've been in an abusive relationship, like mm-hmm. there, you've experienced abandonment, neglect, parents were addicts, alcoholics, whatever your story is, find a trauma therapist. You know, don't keep doing this bypass to this course, to that course, to this podcast. That's all great. That's the first step. Mm-hmm. But it really starts with great trauma therapy. And then, and Carla always says, you could do it at the same time. You can get into a great program on how to navigate dating healthy people, but at the same time, do the trauma work together.
Absolutely. It's like, I like to say, it's like painting a brown leaf green. You know, it like works for, you know, a little bit.
Right. Go ahead. Like spot treatment, right? Like a little like here and there, it doesn't take away the whole problem. You're not cleaning the whole rug. Yeah,
exactly.
So hard for people that have disassociated their whole life to make that connection. They're like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do I feel in my body? What are you talking about? You know, and so that's why I always say there's nothing wrong with you. Just we got to start doing that slowly.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing that to light, Cherry, because in my journey, you know, people would ask me, what do you need? It's something very simple. You know, what do you need? I had no idea.
How would you know if no one ever gave you what you needed? If you were invisible, if people didn't validate your experience, if people told you your feelings were wrong, you're not going to know what you need. I do a great meditation with people about where can they find the capacity of, where can they find people that have the capacity? When in your life have people showed up for you? And it's like, mm-hmm. wow. And then I teach them how to make that. And Carla and I do this in our programs, how to make that bigger, how to make that connection to that person that met your need. How do you make that bigger? So that translates into your everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just have a core memory coming up. I'll have to share, but you know, I'm also in dating and love, and I've been with my partner now for a year, and a couple months ago, we were talking about something. It's like something, you know, really benign, maybe like dinner or like, what do you want to do or whatever? I'm like, I don't know. You know, like, what do you want to do? You know, the classic.
Yeah.
You know, the classic. And man, I just have this core memory come up. It doesn't mean anything. This isn't a question, but I'm just going to share it. Is that he was noticing that I wasn't able to like really tap into what I needed and what I wanted. And he turned it on me. He's like, well, what do you want? And I just started crying. I just started crying. But and then like, it gave me time and it gave me space and it gave me safety to kind of figure it out. Like, what do I want? What do I need? And it was such a beautiful experience. And I guess I don't know why I'm saying that other than like, it's possible to, number one, I think, you know, step number one, I'm sure you guys would agree, is to figure out, you know, what it is that we do need inside of ourselves. And then what's the cool thing is if you keep on doing it, if you keep on like doing that introspective work and the somatics and giving yourself space and time, you know, for all that stuff, is that you can really start to figure that out. And then you can share it with other people, which is like the best thing ever, you know?
And I think having a secure attachment, like it sounds like you have with this mm-hmm. significant other, is a great, it's not that you're relying on him, but he can become one of your protective allies. Like, this is a great resource. Someone who has met my needs, who wants to know what my needs are, but not being like obsessed with him or trying to change him or relying on him for your everything. But he does, he can represent in your life a great resource.
Well, mm-hmm. what's important is also safety. And people think about physical safety, which is important in relationships.
Of course.
But I really think for codependents, emotional safety is so underrated, because we don't feel safe when we're codependent, because we need the other person to be okay so that we're okay. You know, we're very manipulative as codependents. I will say that. And people, the pushback I have gotten on social media sometimes when I say that we are manipulative, because people only associate, and this is the problem with everything being out there, people only associate manipulation. Oh, you have to be a narcissist. You have to be abusive to be manipulative. No, you could be really codependent and the motive of your manipulation is I need you to be okay so that I'm okay. So I'm going to people please. I'm going to make sure you're happy. I'm going to do all these things. But if you're doing that, you don't feel safe in a relationship. Yes. Yes. And so when you can start to feel safe, you can start to heal. I also think as well, you know, do the work. Like, you know, for me in terms of whenever I go through a breakup, I will take time afterwards and focus on myself. And that was really big, especially when I was the first time acknowledging my codependency, breaking free from codependency, so I could really get comfortable with myself. But I will say this, that you can do so much healing in a safe relationship as well. And there's so much power in that. It doesn't mean the relationship might not work out. Just because you're not in a codependent relationship doesn't mean that you're going to live happily ever after, which is the codependent's dream. But when you're not in codependency mindset, you know, you can kind of see it and take it day by day and be in the moment with somebody.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So true. Safety is, yeah. I used to think what, you know, safety was on like physical safety, which I have been in those situations where yeah. I'm safe.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, but there is, it's again, like the inside out, like I feel safe within myself and then I'm able to let him in to like, I don't know, you know, be an ally. That's a great terminology. And like to be, yeah, I don't know, a partner, I guess, in my safety. I don't know. But yeah, that's so important.
And you feel safe because you're working on yourself to get to know yourself mm-hmm. so that you will know what's not safe and what is safe. Mm-hmm. So like, let's say someone is love bombing you. I mean, mm-hmm. Of course, others can love bomb you and maybe you won't quite get it. But the more work you do on yourself and you feel safe within you, you're going to be like, oh, that doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. You know, like Carla always says, you know, trust your goddamn gut.
Yes. Yeah. I will even say this from my own personal journey and experience is that I have been in relationships. You know, I talk a lot about this on the Love Fix podcast. In 2022, I ended my engagement because all of a sudden I saw red flags that I had never seen before. Mm. And I trusted myself. I acted on it immediately. So trust your gut. Trust that you know yourself. If you're doing the healing work, you're not going to repeat the same behavior patterns because that's what healing is trying out something different. You know,
I did repeat the same behavior patterns at the beginning of this relationship with this man. I'm just going to say, I'm calling myself out. Go ahead.
Two steps forward, one step back. That's so it. You can heal within a safe relationship. So if you have certain characteristics that are coming out and things like that, great. You get to work on it in a safe relationship. However, if it starts to feel unsafe and there's red flags and you're just continuing to hold on, it's time to kind of point the finger back at yourself. Whereas before, maybe somebody hasn't claimed that they're codependent, didn't recognize what was going on, and was just trying to make this relationship work and was holding on to dear life, right? You have different choices and options when you're in healing.
And if your need to be hooked up is so badly, you have to be partnered up because you are so afraid to be alone. You're not going to be in a safe situation because your motives, like, you know, check, like Carla talks a lot about checking your motives. What is your motive? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be alone. So then you're going to settle for less and you're going to be vulnerable to not the best choices.
Totally. Yeah. You guys are amazing. I love our time together. Tell me, so is there anything maybe that we didn't cover that you guys like to talk about? Maybe we have like maybe 5 more minutes. Is there anything, you know, that's up for you that you want to presence out to anyone that's listening?
Well, I mean, we have a fantastic program we're creating at the Love Fix. So I'd love people to go to thelovefix.com, get on the wait list, take our quiz. Are you in a healthy relationship? Get our free workbook. Are you in a healthy relationship? That's a really good start because you're going to be with other people that are going to get you and they're going to hold you up and they will be your protective allies, including Carla and myself. Mm-hmm. If you want deeper work, want a trauma therapist, they certainly can contact me and that you got to do that work. You really do. Mm-hmm. So that's my suggestion.
Yay.
Yeah. And you know, Sherry and I really wanted to create this program because what we saw was that a lot of people feel like, okay, they're doing this healing work alone, but where's the community piece? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's really a blueprint for being in a healthy relationship at any stage, whether you're going through a divorce, you're in a relationship, you're dating, you're single, going through a breakup, it doesn't really matter. You can really utilize any of the modules around red flags, communication, boundaries, self-love, attracting your ideal relationship, like, you know, and more. So, you know, it's important, I think, to find other people who are going through similar experiences and come together in your healing. I think that I think that actually is really powerful with healing.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to work in regards to coaching or, dating and relationship coaching, I also offer those services too.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you. Where can everyone find out that information?
Go to thelovefix.com.
Lovefix.com.
Thelovefix.com. Yep.
Yeah. It's a good start.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
How much did you love that conversation with Carla and Sherry? We clearly share a lot of values about healing, a lot of values about doing the deeper level of healing work. And it was really an honor to have them on the show talk about codependency. It's so funny when I kind of look back, it kind of transports me back into kind of where I started this whole journey. It's such a great feeling, really, to know how much I've grown, know how much, hopefully, that I help you as a listener of the audience, help you grow and feel too, just by being in the community. So thank you for being here. You are amazing. I'll let you know and supported. Before we go, I do want to close out with a few things. One is I would love to welcome support from you. From the show, if you've been listening for a while, if this is your first time and you love the content, you love the guests, I would love to welcome in any type of support that you feel would be a great asset. You have the ability to support the show in something very small, like $1 a month. You can do $5 a month, you can do $10 a month. It's all in the show notes, the link in the show notes. And when I receive those support, what it really goes to is the energy and time to record these podcasts, to find great guests, it goes toward the production costs as well. And really just, it's a boost. It's a nice energy boost just to know you're there. So feel free to support the show in any way you deem appropriate through the link in the show notes. Don't forget, I would love for you to join me in Dating You. It's the School for Magnetic Relationships. I think it's one of the dopest things that I put out because it covers all aspects of the healing, the deeper level healing work that you might need to do if you're seeing unhealthy dating patterns and you don't want to repeat them. And really gets to the core root of why that it is and helps you heal it so that we don't have to do that anymore. We can welcome in effort. Feel free to use code LOVE2023 at the link in my show notes. You get $47 off, you get 1 month free, you get access to all of the recordings. So I don't know why you wouldn't do it, other than maybe there's a part of you that's holding you back, but I welcome you to do that, to see how it is, to see how my coaching is, and see what kind of progress that we can make with even in that short amount of time. So I would love to see you there. And don't forget, again, you are loved and you are supported. You are beautiful, you are enough, and you are an amazing beacon of light. And thank you for being here. And I will see you next.